In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and choir master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we're going to pick up where we left off. We're in Mark 6. We're going to start with verse 30, where the text says, they come back. Remember the rhythm. He sent them away, and then Mark talks about a few other things, and now they're back. So they come back, to Jesus. And they announced to him, you see, all they did and what they taught. And he said to them, come you two apart to a wilderness place and rest a little. For those coming and those going were many, and they could not find a proper time to eat. He makes that remark another time in the gospel. They're so busy earlier when his relatives are going to come. And in there they say he's out of his mind. Anyway, he's not. And so those are the words here that set the stage. Now, they went in the boat to a wilderness place apart. And many saw them, and they understood, and on foot from all the cities, they ran there and arrived before them. I could picture that because I lived around there, you know, and they could run around that way and get there first. And getting out, he saw a great crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep who had no shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That's his initial response to seeing them without help. The text says literally, getting out, he saw the crowd. Explanisti. That word comes from splankna, which means he was deeply moved here in his being, you see, because of them, because nobody was helping them. Now, Mark says he began to teach them. Matthew says he began to heal them. And Luke says he began to teach and heal them. And I guess it's because teaching is a way of healing, and healing is a way of teaching. And so Mark just says, you see, that he saw them and understood, and he felt compassion, and he began to teach them many things. So he's there teaching them. And by now, it being late, his disciples came up and said, this place is a wilderness. And if you ever go there and they show you the probable place, it is a wilderness still, and it is already late. Send them away, so that going into the country places and villages around about, they might buy something for themselves to eat. Now, Jesus' answer is very interesting. See, he says, give them something to eat yourselves. What's implied there is what? Do you really think they're going to get something to eat apart from me? They'll do better than sticking with me. Do you really think so? I'm feeding them with the word. I can also feed them physically. Why do you think you should send them away? But he doesn't say that. He says himself, he says rather, feed them yourselves. Well, they're dumbfounded. I mean, how are we going to feed these people? I mean, even if we run out and buy something, huh? Give them something to eat yourselves. And they said to him, shall we go out and buy 200 denarii? That's, you know, a lot of money. Denarius is a day's wage, almost a year's wages, and give it to them to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go see. And finding out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So he ordered them all, ordered them to have everyone recline, group by group, on the green grass. So it's a nice scene. They're going to sit on nice green grass over on the eastern side of the Lake of Galilee. And they got down, company by company, in hundreds and fifties. And now the Lord, you see, takes the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said a blessing and broke the loaves, and kept giving them to his disciples that they might distribute them. And the two fish he divided for all, and all ate, 5,000 people, and were filled. And they took up the fragments, which filled 12 baskets, also from the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So there were some women there too, so maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people were there. And so he fed them all. Now, there are so many things going on here that it takes time to try to unpack them. We're starting a section in the gospel, which the commentators call the bread section. It goes from 6:30, where we're starting, to 8:26, the end of the other multiplication. It is framed by these two multiplications of loaves and contains within it the use in every incident in this uses the word artos, bread, in one form or another. It was Father Leon Dufour who first noticed it and wrote an article on the bread section, you see? So the structure of this section, all the way down, you know, is to this far. The return, Jesus calls them apart, they confront the crowd, he's teaching them. It says here, he's teaching them. I'm trying to find that spot for you. He began to teach them many things because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He wanted to tell them about the Father. He wanted to tell them about the Father's plan. Tell them how much the Father loved them, so that they would have confidence. Even when he went through the rest of his life and was crucified, they wouldn't lose heart, because he's going to rise again. And then, with his risen body, he's going to feed the world until the end of time. So one part of this whole incident is a prophecy. It's Jesus the Lord prophesying, symbolically, how he is going to care for his church until the end of time. He's going to feed them, not just with bread, but with his own body and blood. And this is why this scene has many Eucharistic overtones to it. And especially in John, where the whole discourse, particularly starting with just chapter 6, starting with verse 51 or 52, it's so clear it's about the Eucharist. The rest of the discourse about the bread of life, it could be wisdom, it could be, but it is all those things, but it's also his very body and blood. And that gets clear from the vocabulary there. We've done all that, if you've ever followed it, it's on, in John, in chapter 6, and it's on another one of these tapes, I think. Okay. So give them something to eat yourselves. And they said, do you want us to go out and buy stuff? You know, I mean, for 200 people or more? 5,000, actually. He said, no, give it to them yourselves. How many loaves have you got? Go see. And finding out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now he ordered them all to recline. Now, anybody knowing the Bible knows that this is near Passover, which is the feast of the completion of that wandering through the desert, where they were fed by the Lord himself, by manna. They're there, and now he's going to feed them again. And this is, as I say, this is Jesus prophesying how he is going to care for his people until the end of time. He's going to teach them, and he's going to give them his body and blood, the bread of eternal life. And so that's what this scene is. Now, there'll be another multiplication where there's 4,000 coming up. That sort of frames this whole section of the gospel. But again, it's a prophecy. He's caring for these people in front of him, because it's not just an abstract, you know, this is what I'm going to do. It's a concrete act by which he feeds these people on bread and fish. Recalling an incident in the life of Elisha. And so now we look at this text, you see. And then we're going to go on a bit with the rest of it. First, this is an act of compassion. This is an act of a miracle. But it's a miracle to feed these good people who are so hungry for what he has to offer, which is what? Basically hope. Basically compassion. Basically a knowledge of the Father who loves them. So they'll follow him anywhere. If he were harsh or difficult or too complicated, they wouldn't follow him. They follow him, as the text says, because he was teaching them with authority. He knew what he was talking about because he has spent eternity with the Father. And he knows what he's talking about. And the text says, not like the scribes and Pharisees who study in a book. Jesus doesn't have to do that. He is eternal. He's the eternal Son of God. And he knows the Father from all eternity, and he knows the Father's plan. And as he says otherwise, in other places, I don't do anything, which is from John 5, unless I see the Father doing it. So, as they're gathering, he's praying and saying, Father, what shall we do to help these people? The Father says, teach them, and then give them bread. He says, yes, Father. And so that's what's going on. And so we have this beautiful, as I say, prophecy. Because what's going on here, you see, while it reverts back to the feeding in the desert, very clear the way John records the dialogue, but it's more than that. You see, I'm letting you know how I'm going to take care of you, all of you. All of you who read this 2,000 years later, how I'm going to care for you. I'm going to feed you on bread. But that bread will be my body, and that wine will be my blood. And I will feed you and care for you until I come back. And so that's the way the setting goes. Now we're going to stop and then start the next section, which will be more of a reflection on what we've just heard.